Okay. Parshas Vayeshev. Very involved, very busy parasha. A lot of fun in Yonim. Parshas starts off with the chalimus of Yosef. And Yosef has his first dream about the bundles in the field. And all of the bundles bow down to Yosef's bundle. And Perikam Zayin Pasuk Ches. Vayomru Vayechov. His brothers say to Yosef, Hamoloich Timloich Aleinu Imoshol Timshol Bono. Will you be king over us? Will you rule over us? The Yisifu Oy, the Snoy Soy, they continue to hate him. Achalamaisa for his dreams, Vial Dvorov. It's famous, well known from the Gra. The Gra explains what's the difference between Melucha and Memshava. Hamoloich Timloich Aleinu. Will you be king over us? Imoshol Timshol Aleinu. Will you rule over us? What's a melech? What's a moshe? And the Gra explains, a melech is a leader that the people accept willingly. The people are makabel upon themselves. A melech is accepted by the people. A moshe is a ruler that rules by force. The chazoko, the kayach, with strength, that's a moshe. And explains the Gra, that's the pasuk that we say, ki Hashem ha-melucha u-moshe bagoyim. Because to us, Hashem is a melech. We accept Hashem as melech, beratzim. But over the goyim, u'moshe, Hashem is a ruler by force, because the goyim don't accept Hashem as a melech, but Hashem rules the goyim by force, with chazaka, with strength as a moshe. But la'asad lavoi, what does the pasuk say? V'hoyi Hashem l'melech, akol ha'aretz. V'yoyim ahu yi Hashem echad, u'shmai echad. On that day, Hashem will be a king over the whole world, because everybody, even the goyim, will recognize Hashem, and even the goyim will accept upon themselves the malchus of Hashem. Explains the Gra, the brothers said to Yosef, Hamoloich timloich aleinu. Do you think you're going to be king over us? What's a melech? Beratzon. Do you think that we're willingly going to accept you as a king? It's never happening. We're never going to accept you as a king. Imoshol timshol bono. You think it's going to happen by force? The same way we'll never accept you, Baratzoin. The same way that's not true, it's not going to happen. You should know, in Marshal Timshul, it's not going to happen by Chazaka either. It went by force. It's never going to happen. It's all Devar and Betelem. So says the Gra. The Briskerov adds on, and he says, Lamaisa, at the end of the day, both came true. Because first, when the brothers went down to Mitzrayim, the Pasuk tells us, Vayavayu Achei Yosef, I'm sorry, V'Yosef Hu Ashalit, Yosef is the ruler of Mitzrayim, Vayavayu Achei Yosef, Vayishtachav Eloi. And they came to Yosef, and they bowed down to him, why? He was the Moshel, he was the ruler. So they bowed down to Yosef as a Moshel Timshel Bono, as a ruler. At the end of Parshas Vayechi, after Yosef reveals himself, and they know who he is, after Yaakov dies, what does the Pasuk say? In Perek Nun, Pasuk Yud Ches, the brothers went and they fell, they bowed down before him, and they said, we're for you, Avodim. There they went Baratza, they went willingly before Yosef. So both umakuyim. Like the Gemara in Bracha says, when it comes to dreams, everything follows the interpretation, the way it's interpreted. And the Gemara in Haroi in Brachas brings down Bar Hedya was an interpreter of dreams. And those that paid him money, he interpreted positively in a good note. And those that didn't pay, he interpreted wrong. And it happened because it goes basa hapeh. So the brothers said to Yosef, you're going to be melech or moshe? At the end of the day, both makuyim. And they bowed out to him as a moshe and as a melech. The pasuk says later on, after Sheni, Yaakov sends Yosef to Shechem to find his brothers. So Perek Lamed Zayin, pasuk tezvov. The pasuk tells us, "Vayimseu ish," and a man found Yosef. V'hinei soya basada, and Yosef is wandering in the field. Vayishaleu ha'ishleim, and the man asks Yosef, "Matvakish, what do you want?" And Yosef says, "It's achai anoichi mevakish. I'm looking for my brothers." And Rashi tells us, "Who was this ish that met Yosef?" Says Rashi, "Vayimseu ish." Ze Gavriel. This refers to Gavriel, a malach, shenem v'ha'ish Gavriel, pasuk adonil v'ha'ish Gavriel. It refers to Gavriel. Oh, okay. So I said this word all throughout the past few years, but it's, the message is clear, and it's a nice word to say over. Reb Chaim Mitzanz once went around collecting tzedakah, and he came into a certain town, and he heard there was an usher in the town. Big gevir. So he went to the gevir, and he says, he asked for a donation, and the Gevir gave him a donation, and then he asked the Gevir a favor. He says, no one really knows me in this town, And if I go around collecting, I'm not going to collect too much money. Perhaps you could come around with me. We'll go around from house to house, from shul to shul. And if you come around with me, we'll give more credibility to my collecting. And people will see, ooh, you're collecting. It must be an important cause. And they'll give more and more generously than before. Perhaps you could come with me. So the usher said, I'm sorry, I can't come. I'm in the middle of learning now. I have to daven. I can't come. So B'chaim Itzan said to him, let me ask you a question. It says in Parshas Vayeshev, Vayimsa'ehu ish. And the man found Yosef. And Rashi tells us who's the ish. The ish is Gavriel. We have in last week's parasha, Vayivoser Yaakov Avado, in Parashas Vayishvach. Yaakov is left alone, Vayiyovek Ish Imoi. And a man wrestled, fought with Yaakov, Anoes HaShachar. And who was that ish? Sar Shel Esav. It says Rashi, Sar Shel Esav. So B'chaim asked him, how does Rashi know that Vayishvach, Vayiyovek Ish, means a Sar Shel Esav? And Mimsel Ish means Gavriel. How do you know when Ish is the Sar Shel Esav, and when Ish means Gavriel? And he said, I'll tell you the answer. The answer is, when you ask somebody for a favor, or somebody looks to help you, he says, Matvakesh, what do you need? Let me help you. Ze Gabriel. That's Gabriel. But when he asks somebody for a bracha, and he says, no, I have to go say Shira. I have to go back to Shemayim. I have to go say Shira. That's a sa shalaysof. So you can tell by the way a person answers, the way he behaves, who he is. And he said, what do you want? He wanted to help. He looked to help. That's Gavriel. But somebody up, too busy to help. Want a bracha? I have to go say Shira. I have to go learn. That's already the Sasha Leisov. Okay. The end of the story. Maybe you got the message. I don't know the end of the story, but that was the point. So I always hit on part two, which is my story, which I said over many times, but also very apropos. You know my part of the story. They say, years ago, I was late one morning, gave a ride. Remember the story. Years ago, my wife worked in Bar Park then, and I took her to work one morning, and I was, dropped her off, and I was about to turn around to go back to Mir Yeshiva to learn. And somebody was over to me and asked me for a ride. A little bit out of the way, and I wasn't sure what to do, because, you know, I was on the way to the Yeshiva, I was running late, not the most on-time person, and, you know, the clock's ticking away, and he wants a ride. So first I hesitated. Maybe not, maybe yes, but Tyra. I said, you know what, I'll give him a ride. So I gave him a ride. So he comes into the car, he sits down, and he's a gerichost. He tells me over the following verse. Gemara says in brachos, the Gemara says, if somebody has pain, somebody is chosh b'roishoy, if somebody has a yisurim, yifashish b'maisa. He says, search his maisa. Make a chesh b'nefesh where he's holding, in life. And see what averus he did and why he has a tzar. If he doesn't find anything wrong, he's a tzaddik, then he should be toira the yisurim and bittul toira, the aver of bittul toira. So the Beis Yisrael asks, but he just searched all his meisim. He didn't find any averus. So what do you mean be toira and bittul toira? When he made a cheshbon nefesh, he checked his whole list, all the averus. He didn't find any bittul toira. So how could he be toira the aver of the yisurim and bittul toira? He didn't find any bittul toira. Which is wrong answer. Bittul Taira doesn't mean Bittul Taira. You know what it means? All the times that a person used Bittul Taira as the excuse for not doing a chesed to somebody else. All the times that a person says, I should help, but I can't help you right now, Bittul Taira. I should do you a chesed. Make the phone call for you. Pick some Bittul Taira. All the time a person used Bittul Taira as the excuse for not doing a chesed. And that part stuck with me all the years because I had fallen into that trap. And was about to say no when I gave him that ride. But it rings with an emphasis. It's a true. How many times we use the excuse? Sometimes it's legitimate. I'm asking. Agreed. But a person has to know when it is and when it's not. But to use it as a blanket excuse, but the Torah, a person has to be very careful. Like the Gemara says, Rav and Abaye, Rav had only Torah, and Rav lived to the age of 40. Abaye had Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, and Abaye lived to the age of 60. Okay. The Pasuk says, after the whole story with Yosef, he was sold, Yosef is missing. So the Pasuk says, in Perik Lamed Ches, in Pasuk Lamed Hei, Vayakumu kol bono v'chol b'noisav l'nachamoy. Yaakov is in mourning, he's missing Yosef. All his sons and his daughters stand up, they come to comfort Yaakov, Vayimoyim hisnachim. And he refuses to be comforted. They can't comfort him. Says Rashi, Why wasn't he confident? A person does not accept the consolation on a chai, and the one who's alive, the son of Shemes that he thinks is Mace. Shah Mace, Nigzira, Gzeira, Shishtachach Minalev. The Gzeira of forgetting is only on a Mace, Vloy al Achai, and not on a person who's still alive. But in reality he wasn't. The Gzeira of Shikh is only when in reality he's dead, when a person is really a Mace. So Nesivus Shalom says over a beautiful insight. And he says, Vayimoyim Lisnachim. Yaakov refused to be comforted. In order that Yosef should remain Yosef HaTzadik, and in order that he should not fall into the Averis of Mitzrayim, the connection that he had with his father Yaakov had to remain strong. If Yaakov would have forgotten about Yosef, if Yaakov would have been comforted with the death of Yosef, that connection would have been broken. Because Yaakov would have thought that Yosef is no longer with us. By Yaakov's refusing to be comforted, that kept the connection between Yosef and Yaakov. And this way, when Yosef had his challenges, is this Yonis, that Koyach, he was connected to Yaakov, saved him. Well, we had it in the Gemara this week. We had it in the Gemara, the Muslim Yubnoi Shalov Ivroya, Bachaloi, when Eshes Batifa tempted Yosef, he saw the image of his father in the window, the Muslim Yubnoi. It was that connection between Yosef and Yaakov that kept him to be Yosef HaTzad. It had to be a current live connection. It couldn't be, he was a mace. Vayimoyim Lesnachem. The fact that he refused to be comforted, that kept the connection alive, and that's what gave Yosef his koyach to withstand all the nisyonos that he had in Shemayim. What does it say by Yosef and Eshes Potifar? Vayimoyin vayoyman. He refused. Vayimoyin vayimoyin. Vayimoyin lesnachem. Yaakov refused to be comforted. And what was the word the Torah uses to describe Yosef's refusal to Eshes Potifar? Vayimoyin. Right after Shishi. Vayimoyin and Perek Lamedtes Pasuk Ches. Vayimoyin, Vayimoyin. Strange. Vayimoyin, Vayimoyin. It was the koyach. It was that koyach of Vayimoyin. Yes. It was that koyach of Vayimoyin lesnachem that gave Yosef the strength to overcome his challenge, and he was able to be Vayimoyin. He was able to refuse Eshes Potifar. We all know that in the Vayimoyin of Yosef, the trope is a shashalas, which only appears four times in the entire Torah. Vayimoyin, which we learn as it's a pause there three times over. And the Mefroshim moving down three times is a chazakah. The idea being, vayimoyin, when a person refuses, the Yetzirah has to be a strong refusal. Vayimoyin, no, three times. Chazakah, I'm saying no, case closed, leave me alone. Vayimoyin. Has to be a strong refusal, vayimoyin. Chazakah, no. It's brought down in Shem Shmuel, Sfasem is both bring down the idea that when the Yetzirah tempts a person, don't reason with the Yetzirah. Don't start being logical and tell them, you know, it's not right. Maybe Yetzirah will have a sharper answer back and will outsmart you. When the Yetzirah tempts you, there's only one answer. Vayimoyin. No. No. And that's why it is a psik. In the Torah, the Chumash, there's a line in between the word Vayimoyin and Vayimer. You're supposed to stop in between. Vayimoyin, take a breath. Vayimoyin.
You have to.
Okay. I hear. You're right. Vayimoyin, he refused. Because the first answer to the Yetzirah is, I refuse. No. After you said it, then Vayimoyin. Then you could start talking. But first the answer has to be Vayimoyin, no. If you don't say that no at the beginning, and start talking to the Yetzirah, he's going to outsmart you. It has to be Vayimoyin at the beginning, and not only Vayimoyin, but Vayimoyin three times, a chazaka.
That shows that number one is what counts, not number two from yesterday. Go with number one.
Go with number one.
Number one is fight him off. Oh, fight him off,
yeah, okay. Right? Okay, yeah. Then you got it from yesterday, yeah? Okay,
fine.
Okay.
And you had to bring two other people.
Right, yeah, like David.
And?
Avram?
Right.
Yeah. The koyach of a father to a son is a tremendous connection that exists. And a father can espouse for a child. And as long as that connection existed between Yaakov and Yosef, it wasn't broken, Yaakov was able to protect and watch Yosef. So it had to be vayimoyin hisnachem, he wasn't comforted, and therefore the connection remained alive, and Yaakov was able to protect Yosef. The Beis Yisrael, Gerer Rebbe, whenever a father would come to him, and ask him, how is my son doing? How is my son learning? He would say, no, okay, good. Even though the Talmud was learning very well, he always told the father, okay, good. If somebody else asked about the Baruch Hu, oh, he's Gavaldik, he's learning very well, and so on. So somebody asked him, how come when the parent comes, you tell him a mediocre report? Okay, he's good. And when an outsider comes, you give them a very good report, if it's true. Which is strongly answered, because if I give the parents a great report, they'll stop davening for that child. They won't daven for that child. Why should I daven? He's doing very well. He's doing great. He's learning well. He's behaving well. There's no reason to daven for him. If I give the father a mediocre report, he'll daven for his child to be better. The koyach hatfilah that a father has for a child is tremendous. Don't underestimate that koyach. And therefore, the Beis Yisrael wanted to keep that koyach hatfilah alive. And the father should always feel the responsibility and the need to daven for his children. He told the father, okay, so this way the father would daven for the child. That koyach was what saved Yosef Mitzrayim, the koyach of Yaakov, the mispalafim, and the connection between Yosef and Yaakov. At the end of the parasha, we find, Vahi achar hadvorim ha'ele, chotul mashkei mech Mitzrayim, la'adineim mech Mitzrayim. Right after Shvi, the Pasuk tells us in Perik Mem, Pasuk Aleph, after the whole story with Eishes Baitifa, and Yosef is put in the base of Soyar, the butler, the mashke of the king of Mitzrayim and the baker sinned. And Rashi tells us, how did they sin? What was their royal aveira? What did they do? The oifer, a pebble, was found inside the bread of Paroi. And the sar hamashkim, a fly, was found inside the wine that he served to Paroi. The oifer's chait was a pebble was found inside his bread. The altar from Kelim, once was eating a loaf of a piece of bread, and he found a splinter of wood in the bread. The altar from Kelim. So right away, it reminded him of the Sarah Oifa, they found the tzror, the measurements and a piece of wood, it was a rack, a piece of wood inside the bread, and that was his chait. And the altar from Kelim started to think. And he thought, this baker that baked the bread that I just ate, is he going to be punished because there was a piece of wood in the bread? No, it was a mistake. It was an accident. He didn't do it intentionally. He was careful, but somehow a splinter of wood found its way into the bread. But yet, the Sar Ha'ifin, Parshas Vayeshev, the pebble wasn't put there on purpose. The pebble was also by accident. Yet, he loses his life. Paroi hangs him up on a tree because of that pebble. So the Atef Mekelem said, what's the difference between the pebble in his loaf of bread and the piece of wood in my loaf of bread? Why is the Sar Ha'ifin, Vayeshev, punished with his life? And the baker here, okay, it's an accident, finished. He continues to bake. And he said, the Teretz is poshut. It depends who you're baking the loaf of bread for. Who's it for? If you're baking for hedge, you're baking for regular people, you're careful. But if an accident happens, it's a valid excuse. But when you're baking bread for the king, there are no excuses. It doesn't matter, accident, not an accident, on purpose, there are no excuses. When you're baking for the king, it has to be perfect. There are no excuses that it was a mistake, it was an accident. It has to be perfect. And then the Altam Kelma said, and when we do mitzvahs, and we serve Hashem, we bring our offerings to Hashem, we bring our bread, we bring our mitzvahs, we have to be perfect. Can't have room for any accidents. We're serving the king. When we come to serve the king, we have to make sure that our avodah and our mitzvahs, our tefillahs, our chesed, our tzedakah that we do is perfect. And a person has to try his best to be careful when serving the melech. It's not the same when dealing with a hedgeite and dealing with a melech. You're dealing with the king. Accidents are not acceptable. A person has to be very, very careful. At the very end of the parasha, we find that Yosef, after he interprets the dreams, and he tells the Sar HaMashkim to remember me. And Perik Mem, Pasuk Yudalid, the Pasuk tells us, Kiim Zichatan Yitcha, Kasheyitav Loch, Vasisa Noi Modi Chesed. Remember me together with you when it's good. V'hiskatani El Paroi, and mention me to Paroi, and take me out of the bar. And we all know that Yosef was punished for what he said. Because he relied on the Sar HaMashkim, and he asked the Sar HaMashkim to remember him, the last pasuk in the parasha, V'loi zocha Sar HaMashkim es Yosef, v'yishkacheyu. The Sar HaMashkim did not remember Yosef, and he forgot him. And Rashi brings down, he forgot him, he didn't remember him that day, he forgot him later on, v'pnei shetolo bo Yosef l'zochrei. Because Yosef depended on the Sar HaMashkim to remember him, Huskak Lyais Osor Shteshonim. He remained in prison another 2 years, which is next week's parasha of Shinema, Vayhimi Kates Shinasayim Yomim, another 2 years, Yosef was in Beis HaSumrim, because he relied on the Sar HaMashkim. The Medrash brings down 2 years because he used two lashonos. Kim zechatani itcha and v'hiskatani. Zechatani, he mentioned twice. Remember me, that daddy was punished with 2 years. So, Reb Shimon Shkop and Reb Chaim Brisko once met and they were talking. And Reb Chaim Brisko asked Reb Shimon Shkop, what would have been if Yosef only said one time zechatani? He didn't say it twice. The Medrash says he was punished 2 years because he said kim zechatani yitcha v'hiskatani, a double lashon. So Reb Chaim asked him, "What will be if Yosef said only one time, remember me?" So Reb Chaim Shkop, Shimon Shkop answered him, and he said, "Poshut, 1 year. He would only be punished for 1 year if he said remember me one time." Reb Chaim Brisker told him, "No. If Yosef would have said his katani once, he would not be punished at all. Because that's a shtadlus. A person has to make a shtadlus. That's a shtadlus to say, remember me. But when Yosef went and he said a second time, this katani, that was extra. That was not called for on Yosef's madrega. Since it was not called for, that was extra. Now he's punished for everything that he said because it shows he put all his trust. Right. But now that he said a second time, it shows he put all his trust in the Sar HaMashkim. It wasn't just for the shtadlus. And therefore he was punished by staying an extra 2 years. A person has to make a shtadlus. The trick in life is to know how much a shtadlus. How much? When are you doing enough? When should you do more? We have to have our eyes open. So 2 stories, and then we'll stop. Also a story of Chaim Brisk. In Brisk, there was a person who had a warehouse, and he had his merchandise stored in his warehouse. And a fire broke out in the town. And the fire was on the other end of the town, but there was a raging fire. And his warehouse was still safe. Somebody comes over to the Balabas, the owner of the warehouse, and says, I'll buy all your schayra for 50% of its value. There's a big fire raging. You don't know what's going to happen. You might lose it all. I guess you need insurance. You might lose it all. I'll give you 50% for all of your schayra right now, at half price. Do you want to sell it to me? And he said, absolutely not. At half price, not a chance. The fire continues to rage and it's coming closer. It's a block or two away. And the same person comes back to the Baal Boss and says, 20%. I'll buy all your schayra for 20% of its value. The fire is closer. I'm not offering 50% anymore. I'm offering 20%. He says, absolutely not. I'm not selling it for a penny less. The fire is 3 houses away. He says, your last chance, 10%. I'll buy all your schayra for 10%. And he says, absolutely not. Not a penny. Somehow, someway, a nes happens, and the fire mamish stops right before it reaches the warehouse. The fire is out, and all the merchandise in the warehouse is saved. Everything is saved, nothing is burnt at all. The Baal Boss of the warehouse, oh, what a chacham I am. Imagine how I sold it for 50%, 20%, 10%, now I saved everything. So, he's speaking to somebody and telling what a businessman he is, what a deal he made. He was able to save his whole business 100%. Reb Chaim Brisko overheard the conversation. Reb Chaim Brisko said to him, you're not a chacham, you're a tippish. You're a fool. Because any normal person would have taken their 50% offer when the fire was raging. It happened to me that a nace happened to put it out. The 50% offer you should have grabbed. You're a fool for not taking the offer. And you're a fool for not taking the 20% or the 10%. The moral of the story is that even if a person acts like a fool, and a person is a tippish, whatever panos is decreed for him, he'll still have. It was decreed in Hashemayim that your schayra should be safe, you should have that panosa, even though you acted like a tippish, and you did something that Peter Chateva was illogical, it didn't make sense, but Hashemayim was nigza that the schayra should be safe, you should have that panosa is safe. When it comes to our panosa, we get carried away a lot of times. We worry a lot, we think a lot, what's going to be, the competition, and him, and how it's going to work out, and the customers, and so on. It's all menah shemayim. How much a person earns, hakol b'dei shemayim. Parnasa shaladim ketsuvin loy, mirash hashanah vad rash hashanah, how much a person earns, how much a person makes. Of course, we have to make a shtadlus. But we have to realize that the shtadlus has to go hand in hand with all our other obligations that we have, chiyuvim that we have, and be careful not to let the ishtadlus take us over and let the parnasa rule us. And not to forget for a second that it's not kaychi v'itzim yodi. It's not our kayach, but rather it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we make mistakes, if it's nigza, we should have it. We'll have it with the mistakes also. We'll have it with the foolishness that we did. I saw today a cute little story. There was a millionaire. He walks into a restaurant and he looks around and he orders himself a luxurious meal, food, and he notices in the corner a little Yid, a Yidua sitting in the corner. He's an anti-Semite, he hates Jews. He sees this little Yid sitting in the corner, his blood starts boiling. His shoes in the same restaurant as I am. He looks around, the restaurant is filled with customers, and there's one Yidua in the corner. He calls out loud to the chief waiter and he says, "Come here. What's the most expensive dish you have in the restaurant?" He tells him whatever it is. He says to the waiter, "I want you to bring this dish to every customer here in the restaurant. Serve every table this most expensive dish, except for the Jew in the corner. Don't give him anything at all." And the waiters come out with the delicious dish. They put it there on every table, except for the Yidua's table in the corner. And after they serve the food, all the patrons stand up and they clap and they thank the millionaire for his generosity. And he's looking at the Jew. And the Yidua looks over and says, "Thank you." The Yidua says, thank you. He says, thank you. And the millionaire gets his blood boiling. "You mean that didn't do it to him? That didn't get him upset? I'll show him. Waiter, what do you have for dessert? The best dessert in the house. Bring out for every table, except for the Jew's table. Don't put it on his table at all." And they bring out dessert, and they put it on everyone's table, and they all clap. They stand up for the millionaire, they thank him, and the Yidu, of course, doesn't get anything. He looks over and again, he says with a big smile, "Thank you." And the millionaire's blood's boiling now. "How can I get him?" He says to the waiter, "What about the wine? What wine do you have here?" "Wine! We have it. Bring out the most expensive wine that you have. Put a bottle on every table, except for the Jew's table. Don't put anything on his table." They bring out the wine, they clap, they stand, they thank him, and except for the Yidu. The Yidu looks over to him afterwards and says, "Thank you very much." And the millionaire has had it. He says, "I don't understand. Don't you see I'm trying to intimidate you? Don't you see I'm trying to hurt you? Why do you keep saying thank you?" And he says, "Because I'm the owner of the restaurant." Okay. So, "I'm the owner of the restaurant." Okay. Okay, it's a joke, a story. What's the point? The point is, here, everybody looking feels bad for the little youth sitting in the corner. Oh, he's embarrassing him. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. At that time, Hashem sending him parnasah b'shefa. Very nice. Things don't always seem like they are. We see one thing with our eyes, but we have to open our eyes a little differently. Gedolim have eyes that are tighter. They see things through and through the way they should really be seen. We see things on the surface. We don't see. To us, it doesn't look right. We just had the Gemara. Then when the Meraglim entered Eretz Yisrael, people were dying all over. And they complained, Eretz Achelas Yoshevelhi. And the Gemara says, "Omak, Hashem said, Ani cheshavti l'tayva. I thought it for good. That they shouldn't be busy with the Meraglim. They shouldn't notice the Meraglim. They'll be occupied burying their mason." And they went and complained about it. That's us. We complain. We don't understand. We don't see. We have to open up our eyes. It comes Chanukah. Mr. Shem Chanukah is right around the corner, Sunday night. You have the licht, the neiros of Chanukah, the light of Chanukah. And the idea is brought down, Chanukah falls out in the middle of the shortest days of the year. It's the darkest days of the year, the shortest days of the year, it's the winter time. When you light a candle in the darkness, the darker it is, the brighter the candle shines. And Chanukah comes right in the middle of the darkest days, the middle of the winter, the long nights, the lights of Chanukah shine very bright. And the Kedusha to the lights of Chanukah, tremendous Kedusha. You have 8 special days. Let's use it. Avad is the Indian of the Smitzvah and the parting. But Bimchazit, the learning, Torah, Yom Tov, the Gemara says, "My Chanukah, Tanu Rabbanon." And Mefarsh will bring down the idea, what's Chanukah? The Tanu Rabbanon. The Rabbanon learned. The idea of learning on Chanukah. One has to learn on Chanukah, be mechazik, Torah on Chanukah, let's be mechazik, the Torah, had the Chashmonaim win over the Yvonim, it was all b'koyach ha-Torah, let's be mechazik, the learning, with Hashem, we should be zeichet to see Nisim, today, the same way we saw Nisim, Yom HaMehem, in the Zman of Chanukah, we should be zeichet to Gula, Shalai Mehev, Yemenu, Amen. 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 Amen.